Now, cholesterol, that's something everybody seems to talk about as they get older. Oh, too much cholesterol, and that wouldn't happen. That's too much cholesterol. It leads to all sorts of cardiac complications. Well, the cool scientist is here, and that's just one of the stories that Sean Duke is going to be talking about as regards our food and science. Now, of course, medical people usually make up their minds on this and give us advice, but the scientists get involved in research. So, Sean, you're very welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Hi, Declan. Yeah.
And this thing about eggs. We've heard for years people said, oh, you shouldn't be eating eggs because of cholesterol. Then it went through a period where, oh, no, that it's the wrong science there because eggs have good cholesterol or something, right? And now another study, I believe, tells us that, hey, hold on a second, maybe eggs are not good for the
cholesterol. Yeah, it's gone back and forth a bit, all right. And in 2015, the latest guidelines from the US bodies over there, they actually said that, listen, we don't have to be strict on cholesterol as we thought we would. So the guidelines from 2015 were basically that you should only have 300 milligrams of cholesterol a day, which is quite a small amount because an egg is about a little over half that. So two eggs would have put you over the top. So that's how it had been. So they then came back and said, well, listen, actually, that is too strict. We can actually release those guidelines a little bit. So that's where we were. And people then in America, they saw a big surge then back towards eating eggs and over easy and all that lovely stuff that you have in the morning. But now it seems that this is in question again because there's yet more research. And this time it looked at adults who ate more than one egg a day, about 1.5 eggs a day, although you're not going to eat half an egg. And they found that in these people, and it was a lot of people that they looked at, 30,000 people, Northwestern University did the research, that the people that were eating more than one egg, put it that way, they had a slightly higher risk of heart disease than people who ate no eggs at all. And they also found that the more eggs that you ate, the greater your risk, and also the greater your chances of dying early. So we're back to the old culprit again, cholesterol. And just to remind us, it's not just the eggs. I mean, it's shellfish, it's dairy. I love dairy, cheese, and all those kind of things, and red meat. So that's where you get your cholesterol.
And me to believe because us as ordinary punters who go to the fridge or go to the cupboard, go to the supermarket and pick up food, we don't know which way to turn. There's one group of scientists saying this, there's one group saying that. The doctors must be guided by science, I suppose, to a degree, though they have their own medical input. But where are we to go?
I can see that people would have a difficulty. All I would say is that science, as it progresses, gets more precise. So I think it improves as it goes along. That would be my view anyway. So, you know, I would take the latest advice rather than the advice from 5 or 10 years ago. And, you know, I mean, this study was massive. The numbers in the study also were important for me because it wasn't just 10 people or something like that. You'd always be a bit wary of a small study. But this was 30,000 US adults who were watched over 17 years. So, you know, the comeback for eggs, there might actually be, that might be reversed again. And also where it was published, I should say, it was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, which is like the number one journal for medical research in America. So it's something that we have to take seriously. You know, the advice, of course, well, we shouldn't get into advice, but I mean, it's probably wise, I would imagine, to stick to one egg a day anyway, and not more than that, based on this latest research.
All right, very good. It's Sean Duke, the cool science. You must do a program sometime on cholesterol.
Well, there's different, as you mentioned, there's different types of cholesterol. Yeah, there's good and bad.
And there was a lot of controversy about those tablets. Were they statins?
Statins, yeah, absolutely.
Everybody seemed to be on statins.
Statins, exactly. But things change, you see. I mean, there's research going on all the time. And as you say, like, science isn't definitive. It's an ongoing project. And I would tend to take the latest advice on it.
Okay. Well, let's leave the eggs aside, and would you like a few mushrooms with that?
Yeah, mushrooms, yeah.
Because scientists are looking at mushrooms.
Absolutely.
Mushrooms may reduce the risk of mild brain decline. What does all that mean?
So mild cognitive impairment, they call it. So this is... I'm laughing because, you know, a lot of people might have it. But a study anyway by, again, this one is from Singapore. So this looked at people over 60 and their diet and their lifestyle, and they tracked them again over a period of time. And they were looking at mild cognitive impairment. So that is, it's not dementia, right? It's not the full-blown dementia, but it might be something that's the early stages of it. It's when people get forgetful, their memory starts to decline a bit. They've language problems, so there's difficulty maybe remembering a word or a person's name that they should know. Their attention maybe isn't great, or also losing things, locating objects around the house, that kind of thing. So all of those things are affected by it. So that's the group they looked at. And the scientists, they looked at a number of things, but they found with mushrooms that mushrooms had this amazing protective effect. And they were confused about what it was that was actually causing the effect in mushrooms. And then they seem to have identified what's doing it. It's an antioxidant. So these are the things we would have heard about that are combat cancer, for example. An antioxidant is something that combats the breakdown of things in the body, essentially. And this thing is a very long name, ergothionine. So this thing is basically a very strong antioxidant, very strong anti-inflammatory. So those two things combined means that it seems to have created this protective effect in people who performed much better in all of these memory tasks that they were given, language tasks, memory tasks, than other people of the same age. So certainly, and then the effect is improved. The more mushrooms you eat, actually, the better it is for you.
Do you like mushrooms?
I love mushrooms.
Yeah, so I'm not done on them now, to be honest.
You're not, yeah. Well, you can get these antioxidants and other things like fruit and veg and stuff like that as well. But mushrooms is one that we really didn't understand how beneficial it is. So certainly if you're in the kind of 50-odd bracket where MCI might be starting to affect our older 60s, be no harm to put mushrooms on the menu.
All right, okay, so there you are. We've done the eggs. So we cut down on the eggs, we bump up on the mushrooms. Yeah, so we're not doing too bad. Now, after that, we might have a cup of tea and a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Now, adding milk to hot drinks. Tell us this what the scientists are saying about this one.
Okay, so if you add milk to your tea or coffee, this could help to protect you from throat cancer. Okay, so this is a study of 500,000 people. Again, it's a huge number of people. But it found that if you drink tea at 60 degrees Celsius or more, so that's very hot tea, so drinking very hot tea, you're almost twice as likely to develop cancer, throat cancer. So they think the scientists have found this effect, and they think that the reason for this is because the scalding water, the really hot water, is damaging the lining of the mouth and the throat, and that leaves you at higher risk of developing cancer. And those who drink their hot drinks really hot, 75 degrees Celsius or more, they're more than 2.5 times more likely to develop the cancer, the research found. So what you really should be doing, and I actually do this, I always drink kind of lukewarm coffee because I put so much milk into it. Add cold or warm milk even to your coffee or to your tea, and that's going to make it safer to drink for you. So there's a little tip, and it's worth taking on board.
Okay. Right.
Now,
you wouldn't know where to turn when it comes.
No.
There was a story, and this is not something we have all the time, but certain people have it. They have a couple of tablets in their pocket, just in case, and we're talking about aspirin. What was the study on aspirin this week that came out?
I didn't see the study on aspirin, I have to admit, Declan.
Oh, sorry.
I was looking at a study where the impact of sharing a womb with a brother, how that affects girls. Maybe we could mention that one.
Sure.
Yeah. So
it's twins,
it's
basically.
Twins, essentially.
And if it turns out to be not two girls or two boys, this is a boy and a girl. Yeah.
Boy-girl twins. And I have boy-girl twins, so that's why it attracted my attention. It's been all over the kind of science media this week. And they found, it seems crazy initially, but there is possibly an explanation for it. The study found that having a male twin, a girl having a male twin, sharing the womb with a male, so we say that men are bad for you. Some women would say that. Maybe it's true. This has been found to impact on the woman, the grown-up woman, her educational, financial and childbearing decisions later in life. So this information came from 730,000 Norwegians, including 13,500 twins who were born between 1967 and 1978, and they followed them over the years. And they found that women, the statistics are amazing on this, and I can't wait to tell my little girl that you have to watch out. But if you have a male twin, you're 15% less likely to graduate from high school, or secondary school, you're 4% less likely to finish college, and you're 12% less likely to be married than women who share the womb with a twin sister. So if they've got a woman who's got a girl twin, does an awful lot better.
Is this just a coincidence thing?
Well, no, there's a statistical...
I know statistics, but why?
Well, I'm getting on to that. There's always, you see, what happens with science is they find something and it might seem very strange and unusual, and then they start to try and figure out, well, there's a statistical correlation, so how can we explain this? Well, they think it's to do with testosterone, that there's some link with testosterone, because even women whose male twin died during pregnancy had the effect. So what happens when you've got a male in the womb there, a boy in the womb, around about 8 or 9 weeks, they start pumping out testosterone. And this is obviously, this male hormone is having an impact on the girls. And they found that the girls that shared the womb with the men, they also have bone structure like the boys. That might be hormonal as well. They also have different brain structure to normal girls, if you like, because they have a larger amygdala. That's a part of the brain that's associated with aggression and risk-taking.
Hold on. Where you're going here is that testosterone is consumed by the female.
Mm-hmm.
From the male.
Yeah, they're being exposed to it in the womb.
Which is the male hormone.
The male hormone.
They are absorbing it.
They are absorbing, and normally
making
they
a change
wouldn't. And that's
to their
causing physical changes in the structure of their bone, in the structure of even their brain, that's obviously having an impact on their development and their later life. And I mean, this fits in with a lot of research that's showing that a lot of things that happen to us in terms of our health, even our mental health, are determined by what goes on before we even come out of the womb. So this isn't, you know, totally outrageous research or anything. It's part of a pattern. You're going to ask me?
Yeah, I'm just puzzled by it. And say, you were saying different bone structure, and
yeah.
I can't believe that it develops. If they were getting something extra, maybe they're not supposed to have testosterone. They're supposed to have estrogen or something, whatever.
They have a small amount of testosterone, but the point is that in this case they're subjected to this huge peak.
But why aren't they developing, you know, aggressively and learning? And why is it a detrimental thing rather than a positive?
Well, that's what they're saying. They're saying that it doesn't necessarily have to be detrimental. They're male characteristics. They have more male-like characteristics. So you could say that in the modern world, maybe it's no harm if a girl has that. Maybe things are going to change. But, you know, in this age group that were born in 1967 to 78, it did seem to have these disadvantages, you know, because they can statistically say, and there was nearly a million people involved in this study. So, you know, that's a statistical correlation when you find these things, that 12% were less likely to be married. I mean, that's just a fact, you know, that's just a fact. Or that you can say 12% were less likely to graduate from high school. That's a fact.
But what about the environment they grew up in?
The environment they grew up in, yeah. Well, we can come on to that now because there's another story about that. But what this is saying essentially is that the environment in the womb is critical, and the exposure to, for example, if your mother is very stressed, there's cortisol in the womb, and that can impact on your mental health, likelihood of having good or bad mental health later on. So this This is known stuff.
All right. Okay. Go on to the next story because I'm running out of time. But okay. We take the point. Yeah.
So the next story is about how your personality is formed, and is it to do with environment or is it to do with genetics? And there's an interesting story by Anthony King in the Irish Times today on a new book by a Trinity professor called Kevin Mitchell, How the Wiring of Our Brain Shapes Who We Are. And I think this is really interesting as well, because the book, according to Anthony, is talking about how essentially our personality does not change, that we are born with a certain personality. And, you know, the parents then might say, well, hang on a second, you know, if you do good parenting versus bad parenting, does that not make a difference? It does. It changes our behaviour. But if you start off as a shy person, according to Kevin's research in Trinity, you're going to stay a shy person. You know, and I see that with my own children, that they have not changed one iota since they were born, no matter what we have done. So personality seems to be very much dictated. But we do have the impact of the environment, because you have dietary, you have obviously the example the parents set down. That all helps in terms of your behaviour and your character and your resilience to survive certain things that you come up against. But your basic personality seems to be set.
Okay, in the Irish Times today.
Yeah.
And as a coincidence, Sean Duke, the cool scientist, writes for the Irish Times. Good to see you as always.
Thanks,
Sean. Thanks very much indeed. It's the Morning Show at East Coast.